And there's people that can pick out many of them. Me, I just like, okay, it is what it is. But when you can pick out all the different flavors, then you can really enjoy what it is. I've heard people talk about turtle being the, it has seven different flavors to it. I've never had turtle, so I don't know. But so many people taste something different. And the fruit that we produce, it's not anything you can change. You can't do, you can't just decide in your life, I'm going to suddenly just start loving everybody. Because here's how God produces that fruit in you. Let's say Michelle wants to work on her love walk. She knows where she's failing. She says, I'm just going to make him my goal to love everybody today. God is going to send the most unlovable person to her. And that's who she's going to have to try to figure out how to love. Just like when you ask for patience. I've done told you times, don't ask God for that. You are going to get it anyhow. But the devil will make sure you get the most obnoxious person to have to deal with for your patience. Now, let me help you out on something here. The Holy Spirit was talking to me while we were driving. We had 6 hours of cruising time, and it kind of hit me. Because, you know, there's times I just feel, I don't know about you, but there's times I feel like, oh, my patience is, I've got to work on my patience. And the Holy Spirit reminded me that just because you start wearing down does not mean that you don't have patience. Sometimes you have to pull away. Even Jesus pulled away. He got away from people. Even his friends. He had to get away from them because he had given so much. And when you keep taking an assault, an assault, an assault over and over and over, they call that PTSD. Because you've given so much, and the onslaught does not stop. So just because you had a moment, if you blew your top, rectify it with whoever it is you hurt, and move on with your life. Because you will grow, recognizing the fact that you fell short. Right there is a step growing in love. Self-control is part of all of that. Many of us, we just want to do something. You just want to say something. Sometimes God says, keep your mouth shut. He'll give you the words to say when you need to speak to somebody about something, and it won't put a wall between you. It'll be the right words at the right time, if you're the person. Self-control is also, one thing that we've been working a whole lot since January is controlling particularly our sugar intake. Because we all know that it's real easy to go crazy with sugar. But then also not to get too crazy with the sugar substitutes. I find stuff that's wrong with them. So we're learning a control. I can have a bowl of ice cream. A bowl. A little serving. Because my idea of a bowl of ice cream is about 5 of those drizzled in hot fudge. Okay? That's my idea. And that would be every night. That's when you get in trouble. But if you have one, even once a week, it's not going to hurt you. I've come to like foods that I didn't like. But we need to learn to control everything in our lives, but it's only going to happen when we surrender to the Holy Spirit. And particularly, it's our love. You got to start loving yourself. I looked at a picture from October of this past year, and I looked at it and said, oh my goodness, was that this past year? She's like, yeah. And I was like, dude. I lost a lot of weight there. I know, because my pants fall off now. But it's been self-control. When I want a sweet tea, I don't get a sweet tea. I get an unsweet tea, and she has the monk fruit sweeteners. And I use those. It's not as sweet, but it's also not hurting me. We were discussing this about the last time that I got crazy and just felt I had to lose weight. It was a couple years ago, and then we went away on vacation. And I can pinpoint the day when it all started coming back. It's the day I sat down with the world's largest strawberry shortcake and ate a bunch of it. I got greedy. Greed took over. And that's when it happened. And it all started coming back. I was doing good up until then. But I'm like, I'm on vacation, live a little, right? That's what we say. That's what I say anyhow. But I didn't need that. And it turns out it wasn't as good as what it should have been. And I definitely didn't feel good walking out of there. This past couple days, we had some really good food. We had some really good ice cream. And we felt good. So that's what self-control can do. But that's through the Holy Spirit. I can't do that by myself. You're just going to do this. No, because I'll fall flat on my face every time. Because there's always something little that'll trip you up if you're on that kind of run. Or if any whatever kind. If you're trying to quit smoking. Or whatever it is you're trying to stop doing. You've got to let the Holy Spirit help you. I remember when my dad quit smoking. He would have got saved when I was roughly about 9. And after that point, he just kept trying to quit smoking. He tried chewing tobacco, trying to do everything he could, and he just couldn't do it. And finally, it was on my sister, and I don't, to this day, don't know for sure what took place, but on my sister's 8th birthday, which would have been my 12th, I'd been shortly after my 12th birthday, he quit smoking. Just dropped it. And those of you who have quit smoking know how difficult that is. Because your body starts craving that nicotine, just like your body starts craving sugar. But I've been very disciplined in that in myself. So, but it's only been through the Holy Spirit revealing the truth to me. So now, let's go up to 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I'm not under the law. It says I cannot have ice cream. If all I'm ever going to do is deprive myself of it, and the thing I have to do is start hating ice cream. And ice cream is not evil. It's evil when I sit down and eat a half gallon. Now, the works of the flesh. I wanted to make sure I went back and talked about the fruit, singular, with 9 traits of it. But the works, these are all individual things. These are things in our makeup. Honestly, you don't have to try to do these. It's just life without the Holy Spirit. The works of the flesh. They're evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. The lewdness one, it's we know about adultery and fornication for the most part. Lewdness is when we're out in public, particularly, acting like fools, doing things that we know we shouldn't do and we don't care. Does that sound like today's society? They're proud of it. Idolatry, that's putting things in front of God. Adam and Eve put their desire for knowledge. Well, they put their belly. Well, yeah, they saw that it was good to eat, but that's not what triggered it. It was, don't you know that if you eat that fruit, you will become like God? You will know. I really wish they hadn't done it, but God knew they were. sorcery. It is indeed witchcraft. We're not talking about you understand alchemy. We're not talking about you understand science. See, the church got a little stupid there for quite a few hundred years. And if you were a scientist, if you knew how things, chemicals reacted, how to do this, how to do that, you were a witch. Well, if you knew that herbs could heal your body, you're a witch. But yet God said, here's the herbs of the field. They're all yours. Where did we go wrong? We got crazy. We didn't understand. We chose a lot more ignorance over wisdom. But we're talking about the demonic realm. And there is a demonic realm. There are people who conjure demons. There are people who conjure up dead spirits. They're not the spirits of your loved ones. They are familiar spirits. They are demons. And I believe every one of us has one following us. Samuel did. Because King Saul went to a witch and said, I need to speak to Samuel. Witch knew doggone well she couldn't conjure up Samuel. Because Samuel was in Abraham's bosom. He wasn't ever coming back. But this demon knew exactly what Samuel would have said. He looked like him, talked like him, acted like him. There's actually a church, well, it's not in this county, but it's pretty doggone close. They preach, they share Jesus, and then they conjure dead spirits. They're very misleading. I have family members who got wrapped up in this stuff down in Kentucky, and the one, I guess she was step-aunt, got into it, and she hung herself. She said, I can't live with the living, let alone the dead. You don't play around with that stuff. Now, I'm not saying that all the stuff we see in the movies and all the stuff that we see in music. I know there's a lot of rock groups out there. People, look at them. They definitely are playing. They've got a demonic influence for sure. But I know some of you in here who have had family members who are Wiccans who would tell you that's not what's going on over here. That's what the devil wants you to think while he's actually doing what he does over here. One rock group in particular, they pronounce that they're full-on Satan worshipers. So a guy from Rolling Stones went on tour with them to watch how they did, and his report came back, and he said, they're no more Satanists than I am. He said, they come down off the stage, they go back there, and they sit on a cell phone talking to their kids. They play games. They do this or they do that. It's all a ploy. Now, I'm not saying they're not blurring some lines and playing with some things they shouldn't be. But what I'm saying is, we're focusing on that while the devil's running around over here doing this. He's doing the real stuff. He's got people thinking that they can play in it and get away with it. Hatred. Again, I know many people say, I can love God and I can hate sin. Well, the problem for us is we have a very difficult time separating the line between the sin and the sinner. We say stupid things like, leopards can't change their spots. Boy, I thank God that's not true. None of us would be here. I don't care if you grew up in a religious home. You'd just be religious and dying. We can all change. But hatred builds up. We start hating people. Well, I don't like that group. They look different. Well, we all look different. Every new group, every surge that came from Europe in this country was hated. They really were. It wasn't just the Irish. Italians were hated. Every group that ever came across was hated. Contentions. These little spats we have between our neighbors. We know how that one ends, don't we? You cannot keep wars going. They're just mini wars is all they are. If we've got hatred, we're going to have contentions. And hatred is actually a lack of love, period, for mankind. God has no hatred towards people. He loves the devil absolutely none. He disdains it. He abhors it. But if he hated us, he wouldn't have sent his son. And if he sent his son for you, he can send his son for the person that you're sitting there thinking, man, I really don't like them. Jealousies. This one's hilarious in the body of Christ. People jealous over somebody else's gift. Each one of us is gifted differently because we're supposed to work together. But everybody seems to think they want to be up on the stage. Everybody seems to, well, and then they got the ones that say, well, it's a stage or you're just a performance church. If it's an altar, you're a godly church. It's a cotton-picking stage. I'm the temple. The altar is my heart. That's all that matters. This is a stinking building. It's made with 8x8s, 2x4s, 4x6s, and metal and concrete. That is it. It's a building. In its previous life, it was a welding shop. We redeemed it. So don't tell me people can't change. Buildings can. But jealousies. Well, look at that ministry. They got to be doing something wrong, or they got to be doing something right. I don't care if they're doing what's right. Bless God for it. Bless them. The Bible says, bless and do not curse. Outbursts of wrath. That's uncontrollable anger. It means you're walking around PO'd all the time. Get over it and get over yourself. You can't be mad at God in the world. You've got a problem. You've got an anger problem. You've got to learn to forgive whoever triggered that. And it's a who. $100 says it's a who. A person. Selfish ambitions. Always putting our needs before everybody else's. It's not saying you don't take care of yourself. I know so many people, oh, I just got to do that. No. I go back to what they tell you on an aircraft. If you're traveling with a child and we experience cabin pressure loss, a mask will fall. Put your mask on first. Because you can't help anybody if you're passed out. Oh, no, but I got to. You can't help people if you're dead. So take care of yourself, too. That means sometimes you got to tell people, the phone is for my convenience, not yours. Click. I had to rejoice a little bit being out there in the middle of Lake Michigan. Verizon does not reach out 12 miles off the coast of Michigan. There was no signal. Nobody could reach us. Nobody getting calls or texts from their loved ones. Hey, what you doing? Well, I'm trying to have a good time. But you keep bothering me. Take care of yourself as well. But understand, all of us are called to care for others in one way or another. It may not be in the exact same way. My way of taking care of people is different than even hers. I'm a little bit tougher. She genuinely loves people. She loved people before. I had to learn to love people. But It doesn't mean that I don't love people. It just means I have a little different take. Because if I keep jumping in and pulling you out of the water, you're never going to learn to swim. Why do you think Jesus let Peter go down? He needed Peter to learn. I can promise you, Peter never forgot that moment. I know I wouldn't. And I have been reading this without passing these forward, haven't I? Dissensions, creating problems within the church, creating problems within your community, within your family. We just prayed for a family that has a dissension. My family's got a pretty big dissension. We don't talk. And I've got a family member who's uttering literal destruction against another one. That shouldn't be. And you want to know why? It's because of jealousy that they created in their head. But dissensions in the body of Christ, we're constantly fighting. And here's part of the reason why is this very next word, heresies. You've heard of heretics, heretical teachings? They're still here today. Some of your favorite preachers are preaching some pretty heretical crap. And I'm going to call it that. I've heard it out of his mouth. I used to admire the man. Said, you can make Jesus come back quicker by giving more. He said, you didn't know you could speed up the return of Jesus by giving? Folks, that is heretical. Why? Because it's not backed by the truth of the word. God has a timing. Everything is in God's timing. You and I can't usher anything any faster. You can't. Jesus Christ had to be born at the exact time that he was. Why? Because however many years before Jesus was born, God spun this creation into existence. And he got these stars. He hung them all in places for particular reasons, because it said it foretold the times and seasons. And the time and seasons that Jesus was when Virgo and Leo and Jupiter and all those things that were highly significant came into alignment. Oh yeah, Simeon could not die until Jesus was born. He's an old man. I have no idea how old he was, but he's like, I've been ready to go. Hallelujah, I can go. The angel of the Lord came to Abraham, said, Abraham, I'm going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham's over trying to barter. Hey, how about 50? Well, I know for a fact there ain't 50. Well, okay, for 50. Well, how about 40? How about, he kept going down. We know that there was 5 people that initially started the journey and only 3 of them made it out. And even then, they were trying to hold on. They didn't want to go. And the angel said, we got to go. And they just grabbed them and drug them out of there. Well, Pastor, I don't understand. If God was controlling, God was controlling. But he had already set in place the things that were going to happen. People look at things and say, oh, it was just an accident that took place. No, God knew what was about to happen on that plane. And if you don't know history of that region and everything and what came down, fire and brimstone, right? That's what fell. He said, I'm going to destroy it with fire and brimstone. That's exactly what he did. What on this earth produces fire and brimstone? We call them volcanoes. And they have proof that an ancient volcano took out Sodom and Gomorrah and all the little villages around. It rained down fire and brimstone because there was an appointed time for that in God's timing. And the Bible tells us that even the Son does not know the time he will be coming back, but only the Father. So no, that is heretical teaching. We have people trying to teach that Jesus isn't God. No, he absolutely is God. He always was a part of God. The Holy Spirit is a part of God. Just like I am mind, body, and soul. Or mind, body, and spirit. I'll get it right. Soul and mind are pretty much the same thing. I'm a three-part being. God's a three-part being. But we get the Holy Spirit to live within us, and we get to produce a fruit that has nine, which number nine means either judgment or completion as well. So when you're walking, when you're manifesting all of those fruit, those traits, I got to keep that straight, keep those traits manifesting that people can see. Not only should your brother and sister be able to see that in you, the people out there who don't know Jesus should be able to see that in you. Not because you're walking down the street with the biggest King James they've ever seen, beating them up the side of the head, but because your love goes with you, because you love the people. How many times did you see Jesus condemning people for their sin? How many times did you see people, Jesus pulling out the scripture and just wailing on them with it? He just one time asked for a drink of water. And that opened up the floodgates. Because the lady said, oh, time out. I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. We ain't supposed to be talking. Your type doesn't like my type. Jesus started ministering to her, and man, she got that drink of water. She says, I'll be right back. And she went and got all of her friends and people in town. And a revival was held. Envy. Thou shalt not covet. You don't need to be envious of anybody else for what they have, what they've gone. Listen, most people who have something went through something. You find somebody who's got peace, they've been through hell. But they finally came to a point where they realized, I don't control this. I need that joy, Lord. I need your peace. Don't be envious of what somebody else has. Don't be envious of somebody else's husband or their wife or their children. Children just don't raise themselves. It's at least an 18-year commitment. Murders. You have to go to such a depraved point in your mind, in your spirit, to be able to take the life of somebody else. You have to be there. Even people in the military. We get criticized all the time because we refer to people of different areas by particular names. It's because we're dehumanizing them. Because of when we stop and think about what we're doing, that's when it gets us. And when they're held in there too long, then problems develop. But people get hold of murders and they, listen, I'm sorry, but these video games do need to be controlled. GTA, every time I'd see it, Jesse, if you're watching, I threw it away. Every time I'd find it, he'd go to school or go to work, I'd go up there and take it out. He didn't do any of the stuff on it. He just liked stealing planes and seeing if he could land them in streets and stuff. But, okay, how about we just make a video game that does that kind of stuff instead of killing people for the plane or all this other stuff? We're glorifying it. I have to be careful even when I watch a gangster movie. I really do like the genre. Because you fall in place of rooting for the criminal. And they're murderous. I started watching a series because I'm like, I mean, I don't care what people think about him. I kind of like Sylvester Stallone. But he did this one show. It's called Tulsa King. Some of you know what I'm talking about. He gets out of prison. They send him to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And what does he do? He starts bullying people and taking their businesses. He becomes a two-bit thug. Again, I'm like, I liked you. And here you're this horrible human being. But we glorify that. We glorify John Dutton. He was a horrible individual in the show. How many people went to the train station? I'm not talking about standing up and protecting what is yours. You cross the line when you take people's lives. You are a two-bit thug. All the stuff. Oh, I'd rather be a Beth Dutton. No, you wouldn't. She was miserable. She had no peace. She didn't know love. I was only able to watch a little bit of it, and I said, I'm done. I'm out. It's all garbage. 1923, 18, whatever, the one before that. Seriously, it's not even good. It's the same garbage, just a different genre. But we glorify it. I don't even watch war movies very often anymore because I don't want to glorify war. I understand the courage that it takes to get out there and do that. But I'm not glorifying taking another person's life. I like the old westerns. The guy just fell off the back of a cliff. You didn't have to go see the carnage. You can imagine it. And same thing with all the sex scenes. Miss Kitty got a kiss. Today, drunkenness, revelries, riotous living. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to do this. When I drank, it was natural. Sure, let's go do something stupid. Let's go push that porta potty over with my friend in it. And the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what happens when we do not let the Holy Spirit change us. I grew up and got a little religious. Didn't put forth much fruit. There was a little bit of evidence because I was a bit religious. I mean, like I said, I ran from God. I joined the Marines to run away from God. And God hadn't given me her, but just in the nick of time. Talk about God's perfect timing. Because if God had brought her to me the previous Sunday, I wouldn't have enlisted. Because I called a recruiter on Tuesday morning. He came, picked me up, took a test. He said, I can have you in a test up in Cleveland and we can find out for sure what you're good at. At that point, I could have done about anything I wanted. I said, all right. He drove by the house, grabbed my toothbrush, change of pants, and by 4 o'clock the next afternoon, I, Arthur D. Waddell, do solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States. 4 days later, I asked her out. Found out, hey, she does like me. Crap. I enlisted. God waited until to let that whole thing transpire. Why? Because he needed me to join so I could learn mercy. So I could learn to love the unlovable. And trust me, Marines are an unlovable bunch. We really are. But I had to learn a lot. I changed a lot. And God took me to a church that was full of imperfect people. And he taught me forgiveness. The one major thing I was missing in my life was real forgiveness. I could say I forgave people, but I really didn't. Because remember, you know, hatred is one of those things that shouldn't be in the life of a believer. And there were some people I think I borderline hated. Not that I didn't want to be around them anymore. It's just, I would have gladly have pushed them over the cliff. You know, we talk about love. And for the world, you got to start loving the people out there too, folks. Not just your brothers and sisters. That love doesn't go just here. It's got to be visible and evident. They got to feel that you actually love them. I'm not saying you got to be buddies, best friends. As a matter of fact, you should not be best friends with the world. But I knew a man, I was talking to him, and he started talking about people who are gay. He said, I won't even talk to them. How are they going to know about Jesus if you're the one who's supposed to tell them? You won't even talk to them because you hate them. They believed a lie, just like you're believing a lie. A lie is a lie is a lie. Doesn't matter which one it is. The lie that tells you, oh, you know it all, that's a lie. The lie that tells you you're perfect, that's a lie. The lie that tells you you don't need anything is a lie. It's not truth. It's not backed in the word. Because if that was the case, you didn't need Jesus. You wouldn't have to submit yourself daily to God. That's why people need to see the fruit. That's why we need to be in, tied into the vine. That vine is the root. It brings up all the life. I told you earlier when I was talking about all this, about a tree I cut down, a maple tree. And that while I was cutting it up, man, that sap was just a running. It's about yay tall, and that sap just running out of the top, hanging over it. And at that point, it was still very sweet. At this point, it's very fermented, and you can smell it. But all that sap was meant for the top that I cut off. That was the life. It was going to bring life to all the leaves and produce seed. And the seeds were going to produce more trees. That's why we need to have fruit. Because if our fruit is seen and it is taken part of by the world, they see it. And they can rejoice because they see a change. Like I said, you're not going to make those changes all by yourself. Yeah, you're going to have to do some of this stuff. You're going to have to learn to bite your tongue. You're going to have to learn to unclench your fist. You're going to have to love in spite of how you feel. Because while I love my wife immensely and deeply, I love her all the time. But we both know there are times we just as soon smack one another sometimes and ask, why are you being so stupid? But the reality is the love never stops. We go away, realize we were the fool, and we come back. And we still love. The love never got touched. That's walking in love. You can disagree with me all you want. Now, if it's with the Bible, you're disagreeing with the wrong person. You need to take out to God. Because what I shared you was not my personal opinion. And that's what heresies really are. It's somebody's personal opinion of what they think the word means. I believe it's in 2 Peter or 1 Peter, said no scripture is of a personal interpretation. No scripture or prophecy. You can't have your own personal interpretation of the word. If that were true, I'm going to rewrite some things. But it's not. I have to get in there and I have to know what it meant and said. I have to understand why God told them not to do all this stuff. We look in it and it's destructive. We open ourselves up to things. I know people that you may not believe in the occult and witchcraft, but I know people who have taken particularly some items that were in a grave in Nineveh. And every person down the line had that killed themselves. It is now in the Ohio River. I don't know for sure what the item was, but I was told by the person who ended up with it, I had to get rid of it. I had to get rid of it. All the guy would tell me is, man, there was some bad juju. So if you're playing around with witchcraft, knock it off. It's very real. I don't glorify witches. As a matter of fact, I did not. Growing up, we didn't teach our kids with Cinderella and Snow White and all of them because of the witches. I don't want to glorify that. I want to glorify God. Now, I knew all the stories. I'd watched them. I'm not out practicing the occult. But make sure you're not glorifying witchcraft. Watch what you're watching. Watch what you're bringing into your children's lives. They're so susceptible at this age. And be careful what you're saying around them. They will hear what you say and they will believe it. Even if you're dead wrong. If you start saying something about somebody of a different color and you're being negative, they'll believe it. I don't care how hard you try to change their minds. They will believe it, trust me. That's why I did. Another reason why God sent me to the Marine Corps. Some of my best friends were black. Some of the men I trusted with my life. You got my back. When I got backstabbed, it was usually by a buddy who was white. Because he had selfish ambitions. And that shouldn't be so in the body of Christ, folks. We should be crucifying those things. We should be recognizing them. That's why I asked you to ask God to help you locate and close with something and destroy it through his power. You're not going to get through it on your own. Just not happening. I could say I'm going to lose weight and just pfft. Used to be a time in life all I had to do was skip a meal. I dropped 5 pounds. Pfft. Those were the days. I'm kind of stalled right now, but it's at a good place. I can breathe. But don't let your good works, and they're good works out there. These are things that people are going to see. They're going to see your love. You know, Michelle, those kindergartners, they're going to see your love for them. They're going to feel that love as long as it's genuine. Kids know when it's real and when it's not. And if they find out you're fake, they will never trust you again. And they grow into adults who never trust again. I've witnessed it. I was there, been there, still working through a few people. So no, I'm not perfect. Never claimed to be. If I'm on the water, I'm at least knee deep right now. I'm getting there. I'm about, as long as I keep reaching up, amen? Let's stand. Now listen, you should feel absolutely no condemnation. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about something, then you let the Holy Spirit lead you. Ask him what you need to do. There'll be things you have to do. I said, Holy Spirit, what do I need to do? He said, drink more water and cut out so much sugar. All right. And eat more salads. Fortunately, I like salads, so it's not a bad thing. But that's in that. Lord, help me with my anger. Help me with my resentment towards people. You can call it whatever you want. We got all kinds of different names for it. But it all boils down to the same thing. I drank to hide the anger so that I could feel alive. Yeah, I had anger. And the alcohol covered it for a little bit. But God help me. And we dealt with it right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, that your word brings conviction but not condemnation. And then with conviction, Lord God, there is victory. There is hope. There is life. Lord, I pray that you help us all now to develop the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of that vine, Lord God. And that by doing so, we are crucifying the works of the flesh. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in our lives. You're leading us and you're guiding us. Father, I pray for strength for all of these people that have heard this message. Those who are teetering on it, Lord, I pray right now that it grabs them and they hold on to it. Father, I thank you that you're moving in their lives. You're blowing up every rock that has been built around their heart, every wall that has been put there by somebody doing something, somebody saying something. Father, I thank you that you're removing each and every one of those bricks. Now, Father, I thank you for your people. Lord God, I bless them. I bless them in their health. I bless them in their life, in their finances, Lord God. Move mightily on their behalves. Father, create the opportunities for them to continue to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.